KX Mobile.
Single sideband
you can get more distance out of them. From everything that I've read and watched, they've been guys making contacts 300 or 400 miles away with the right conditions.
Okay. Yeah, I have both a vertical and a Yagi antenna. I'm planning on putting the Yagi up this spring, and I'm still trying to figure out if I'm going to either put an X beam on top of it for HF or if I'm moving my vertical VHF antenna on top of it. I haven't decided what I'm going to do yet.
It's like there's too many choices to figure out which way to go.
That's right. That's absolutely correct.
Like that little dog from the movie Up, where you just holler squirrel and I'm gone.
Cool. I'm actually thinking about using some of the ideas that I heard there for, like, using PVC, painting it up, and putting wood dowel in it. I think about using that for my mast and getting, like, one of the old TV satellite antenna rotor boxes and use that as a rotor for a bit.
We're doing that. I don't know about the PVC pipe, but I've heard of people doing the dish and the converter box.
I don't have that big of a Yagi, so that's why I'm honestly thinking about it. I think my Yagi at most is, if I had to guess, 3 pounds tops, if I had to guess.
We work. I know my antenna right now is just up on some Schedule 40 aluminum poles. Look like they might be old military poles. They're 4 foot sections that lock together. And I got it up. I got a rotator on top of it, I got a beam on there, and a vertical all on top of it, so we're making it work. It's a little sketchy coming up and down, but we're all good so far.
Get Friday. that sounds like me with my 25-foot HF antenna I got in the back of my house. It's absolutely sketchy moving up or down at all, but when it's up, it's up. But no, I haven't decided where I'm even going to put this antenna, because I got so many things surrounding my house that on HF it can cause me noise, but VHF, UHF, I know it doesn't really matter for what's around me. It's just, I haven't figured out exactly where all to put it all.
Next problem is figuring out what room you have to put stuff and where you want to put it and what's it going to interfere with and what's going to interfere with it.
I got a big thick data cable coming on the side of my house, and I got power lines in front of my house. That very rarely, but it does miss my HF antenna here and there. It's very, very seldom when it happens. But my VHF, UHF, I never get an interference on that. I have LMR 400 on that one anyway. I just haven't decided, like, if I'm going to put the rotor on the eve of my house or if I'm going to do near my HF antenna. I haven't decided quite where yet.
Hey, Skex Friday. I don't know what to tell you on that one.
I'm sure I'll figure it out. I just need first to figure out what I'm going to use to as a mast and or shaft mast. I'm guessing it's called a mast. I'm used to calling those types of things shafts with my background, but I gotta figure out what I'm gonna do for the actual mounting brackets and everything anyway before I can do all that.
I can tell you how mine's done, and it's all stuff you can find laying around pretty much.
Yeah, what you got? What you got going on over there?
I put a 6x6 in the ground, about 4 foot in the ground, and then added to the top of it. So I took a 16-foot 6x6, put 4 foot in the ground, and I put another 8-foot section on top of it. So that gave me almost 20 foot out of the ground. And then I made my mast tilt over with angle and a bolt through it. The angle comes off the 6x6 at the ground, and then the bolt lets the mast tilt over, and I put a winch on there to raise and lower it. So something like that might work for you, where you can pull it up against the eave of the house and fasten it once it's there.
Yep, very good idea there, and actually, you're giving me ideas right now. I'm thinking about, my house is actually two stories, not single story, and I already get out pretty far with that vertical antenna I got now. I'd probably go maybe a three-foot piece of tubing, aluminum channel, something, and maybe not exactly make it a fold-over like you got, but I don't know, something to where I can just mount everything on and call it a day, I suppose, with a vertibox on the very bottom of it. To turn it. I mean, if it's 3 feet up, it shouldn't be that bad for the vertibox, should it?
Two-story house, and you're up above it, that's probably plenty. I mean, you're a minimum of 20 to 30 feet off the ground.
K8 HID.
Just come on in.
Yeah, I normally just monitor, but I heard y'all talking about the wood mast. If you can get a hold of a 50s, early 60s amateur radio ARRL handbook, those type of schemes with wood were used a lot. You would put a couple of 6x6s parallel in concrete, and a lot of times they were putting up 40-foot masts with these things, mainly holding wire or a small vertical antenna, and there would be 4 to 6 foot of that sticking out of the ground, and then you would pull up with a vehicle or a winch those poles. And you could get 35, 40 foot of antenna up on these wood poles made out of 2x. And a lot of times they were used, especially these guys that were running the rhombics and stuff back that day. And my dad was a ham, and I remember that's what we used. Probably 1956 or 50, no, that'd be 1960 he installed those things. And, remember when we moved, they brought a tractor in, all kind of stuff, trying to pull that thing out of the ground, you know, to sell the house. They finally just gave up, sawed them all flush, covered them over with dirt and let it be. But that was a wood towers, wood mast poles, that kind of stuff were really common. So there's reference, if you go back there looking at some of that stuff, some good ideas.
Friday. Would it happen to be in a old QST article by chance? Because I have, I'm an ARRL member, I might be able to access those old QST magazines if it's on there.
Oh yeah. They were in the QST also. But I don't know if you belong to a local radio club, but you can find some old-timers in there. Ask them if they've got a 50s, 40s, early 60s, before the prevalence of the steel tower. And or an old antenna book from way back then. You'll find them, especially at some of the ham fest estate sales. People think they're not worth anything, but yeah, you put something like put something up like that, it'll last for years and years. So I just brought back some fond memories when y'all were talking about that. Hail's Gary, I'm over in Spartanburg County.
Tango 4, WWZ, number.
Together and throwed my antenna up. We did use aluminum poles, but we used a wooden brace to put it up against out in the yard, so kind of the same thing, and it worked out good for us.
Yes, come on in, Chandler. But I'm thinking of how to do this. I'm thinking about getting or DIYing some hex beams or something, some kind of beams soon, and that actually gives me a lot of good ideas, especially for the small footprint that I'm able to work with all the noise that I have around me.
hex beams work really well in a small footprint, two elements on all the bands, I believe it is. He's a ham that used to live here that had to move away due to health issues, be close to family, and they put him one of those up. Man, he talks all over the place. He brags about it all the time. And he's only got it up about 30 feet, but seems like he's got 10 through 6 meters on that thing, maybe. All kinds of bands. Works really well, and they're economical.
Hey, Patrick. Good morning, Fred. What's Gary's call sign? KO4WWC.
Mine is Kilowatt 8 Henry India David, K8HID. And we're heading toward the salt mine in Spartanburg.
Right, good to meet you, Mr. Gary. My name is Chandler. Glad to hear you on the air this morning.
There's all kind of stuff you can homebrew. I like homebrewing different antennas, especially on HF. There's no reason to go out and spend a fortune. I've got an old dipole that belonged to my dad. He was a ham. 80-meter dipole. It's been in continuous use since the mid-60s. And finally, the center insulator went bad. And I said, you know, while I'm at it, I made a fan dipole out of it. 80 meters, 40 meters, and 20 meters. And I learned a lot because there's a lot of interaction between the two. But then, of course, if you dig deep enough, somebody's already figured that problem out. So he said the secret was at the feed point, keep them 6 inches away from each other. So basically you just got one feed line, three antennas, and I use that antenna 90% of the time, especially if I'm just running digital. I don't even bother with the beam. It does everything I need. And all I've got in it is a center insulator I bought from went ahead and put a balum in there from the wire man up there at Glassy Mountain. And some scrap wire. Works really good.
Friday. Yeah, I've actually got a Titan DX antenna made by Gap in my backyard right now. I use that for HF work. And I'm more or less just playing at this point with HF because I've somehow hit this wall of sorts that's like in the Germany, Italy area. I can't seem to get past, and I don't know if I need to get an amplifier or something else to get past that wall, because I can't seem to get past that wall for some reason, even when the gray line's in my favor. But no, I hear you there about the fan dipole. My dad, KI4MRA. He actually had a fan dipole up, and he's actually pulled it down recently. They're fixing the change of QTH, but he had a fan dipole. I actually helped him put it up, and he had it tuned for 10 to 40 meters, everything in between that. And it worked pretty good for him. He hit that same invisible wall I seem to be hitting now.
That's vertical ground mounted.
Titan Gap is actually, or my Gap Titan is on a fence pole drove in the ground and does not make contact with that fence pole in any way, shape, or form.
I was hearing what you were saying about hitting that wall. I want to let you know, if you wanted something easy to make as a beam, I built a 20-meter Moxon rectangle. I think it cost me like less than $100. I've only got it mounted up about 25 feet. And last night I talked to Serbia, Oman, and Yemen on it on 80 watts.
It's on rectangle antenna, correct?
Basically a two-element beam. and it's got the ends of each of the beam, the reflector and the driven element bent back toward each other in a rectangle pattern, and it takes up a little bit more space than a hex beam, less than a full-size beam, and does really well and really inexpensive to make. You can actually buy, there's a guy on eBay that sells these center posts, aluminum center posts with the brackets for it already made for about 40, 50 bucks, and the arms of mine are just made out of some inexpensive fiberglass, like fishing poles, like crappy rods.
I'm definitely going to look into that soon. Gentlemen, I appreciate all the information on y'all been able to give me today. Def gives me options, gives me a lot of ideas, but I gotta go ahead and take off. This is KO4 NNH73, everybody. I'll be clear.
KO4 HKX. You might want to look at, I don't know exactly which antenna you got, but you might want to look at some counterpoise for ground radials. Even though a lot of them say they don't have to have them, it makes it more efficient. And you might look at getting a little higher up off the ground. So anyway, good to talk to you.
I'm still here, Patrick. I lost everybody for a second. Static for some reason.
I didn't know if it was me or what.
I don't know. Maybe it was a repeater or something, because if it was both of us, it must have been something outside.
It may have been me. He's talking to me now.
I hear y'all on the radio. I don't normally hear anybody on my way in the mornings.
We're in a hole. You must be in a hole or on the edge of the coverage one. In a parking deck. I'll see y'all later. How doing this morning? I think Chandler's still around there. He's been trying to get me all morning, but we keep missing each other.
To work, and I don't normally hear anybody on the repeater on my way in, so I was glad to hear somebody this morning.
Well, man, throw your call out. I'm always out here. A lot of times I don't hear anybody either. This morning just happens to be somebody picking up right as we're getting done.
Put that in mind and try to call out more on my way in. I'm usually headed in between 6:30 and 7.
It's about 5:30, quarter to 5, and make my way down the mountain, so I've got a good drive to get here.
Early start, for sure. Up there.
WWZ, KO4HKX, you still out there, Chandler?
He'll be back, though, I'm sure of that.
Probably running his bus route right now, so I'll catch him later.
It starts early. I had a friend who drove a bus, and it sounded like a long day and kind of awkward because it has like a big kind of break in the middle of the day.
It's hard to find people to do that because of that big long break in the middle of the day. I know my wife works for the school system in Transylvania County, and she has to monitor the bus traffic because they got radios and all there, and they can see where they're at. And she's all the time telling me they're having a hard time finding somebody. They made the custodians at the schools go get their bus license so that they can drive before they work and they can do custodial work during the day.
I know down here in Greenville County, they're always advertising, hiring bus drivers. I don't think I've ever seen a time where they weren't. So I guess the schedule is just really rough on most folks. If you're not a morning person especially, and then if you can't find a way to keep yourself busy for a couple hours in the middle of the day too.
True. And some of these kids, man, the bus routes, they're picking them up 6:30 in the morning.
Phone call coming in.
4HKX. Mobile.
XW4CTW, you still there, Patrick?
KO4HKX, I'm still here, Tyler.
Hoffman calling, I had to take it. I just want to get back with you. I'm here at the office now. I'll say 7-3 to you and hopefully run into you a little later today, maybe.
No problem. I understand that completely. So So I'll keep an ear out for you later on today. KO4HKX, and I'll be clear. 73.